Today's scripture lesson is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and to sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord Jesus, ask me to tell others about my grandson. I'll pull out so many pictures their eyes will roll in the back of their heads. Ask me to tell someone about my church. I will keep them there for hours, bragging and bragging. But that's not what you ask. You tell us to share good news. Do we? Lord, give us the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Chew on this for a minute. In fact, after you hear it, you may be chewing on it for a whole lot longer than a minute. This is a quote. "The average Christian will attend 2,500 worship services. They will hear 2,500 sermons. They will sing 20,000 songs. They will participate in over 10,000 public prayers and will lead zero people to faith in Jesus Christ in their lifetime." Did you hear that? 2,500 worship services, 2,500 sermons, 20,000 songs, zero converts. Zero people being led by Christians bringing joy and eternal life to others. Now, even though I am a pastor, I have to admit that I have spent many days of my life and many nights of my life wondering if I am such an average Christian. Now, I know there are pastors in God's service today because God sent me into their lives. I am certain that there are many marriages still together today because God brought us together. I am confident that I have helped many, many people walk further down the road of faith because God raised me up at the right time. But I can't help but wonder how many people have been given new life in Jesus Christ because God gave them a new faith and used me to do it. Isn't that why we are here? Isn't that the purpose of the church? To make him known to the lost and unbelieving. None of us should be content with zero. We all need to be out there chasing down chariots. You know, I heard about a student who went to a Bible college not to study for the ministry, but just because he was interested in God and wanted to learn more about God. Now, all the other students, they were all training to be preachers. And they decided that they would rope him in. You know what that means, right? Mike used it in his talk a couple of times. He got roped in. Well, this guy got roped in. They were going to rope him in and try to encourage him to become a preacher. Once a week, they would have a sermon workshop. It was something I actually did in seminary. Students take turns preaching. Other students listen. And then the other students provide constructive criticism. And they told this guy, come and preach. We'll take it easy on you. He came, and at the right time he stood up and he said, does anyone here know what I am about to say? They all said, no. And he said, neither do I. And he sat down. Now, the other students weren't ready to give up. They pressured him all week long. They said, come back, do it again. So the day came. He stood up. Does anybody know what I am about to say? Well, they were ready. This time, all the students said yes. He was ready too and said, well, there's no point to me saying it then, is there? And he sat down. Hang in there. I know this is a long story, but just one more week to go. Again, the other students pressured him all week long. They were not going to be content until he got up and actually preached a real sermon. And they gathered together and they came up with a plan. If he does the same thing that he's done for the last 2 weeks, here's what we're going to do. Half of us are going to say yes. Half of us are going to say no. And then he'll be caught. He'll be roped in, Mike. He'll have to give a sermon then. Well, sure enough, the day came. He stood. Does anyone here know what I am about to say? And half of those students said yes, and half of those students said no. And he said, well, those of you who know, go and tell those who don't. And he sat down. I don't know why the E word scares us so much. Why are we so hesitant to do the work of evangelism? So simple. And so, so important. Have you ever listened to the guys that were mentioned who do a lot of work around here? When they get in a group, listen to them. They can talk about a fence post and how it should be planted in the ground for about an hour and a half. But do we talk about Jesus, who's a little more important than a fence post? Those of you who know, go and tell those who don't. That is such a simple, beautiful, the best definition of evangelism I've ever heard. This is how important it is. Listen to what the Bible says about humankind. We are like sheep without a shepherd. We are lost. We are condemned. We are blinded in our minds, for the God of this age, the devil, has blinded our minds so that the glorious light of the gospel of Christ cannot shine in our darkness. We are dead in sin. We are without hope. Are we willing to leave people that way? Without hope? Lost? Condemned? Blinded? Dead? When we refuse to talk to others about Jesus and our faith, that is exactly what we are doing. We settle for zero when we should be out there chasing chariots. I want you to realize what Philip gave up. Philip was preaching in Samaria, and lives were being changed. Converts everywhere you looked. And God said, Philip, leave the city. Leave the place where you are comfortable. Leave the place where you are successful, and go to a dusty road in the middle of nowhere. No explanation. He didn't say, I want you to do this, this, and this. When you get there, you need to think about this on the way. Pray for this. He just said, get up and go, Philip. And to his wonderful credit, Philip's obedience made him go immediately. No hesitation at all. Philip offered no excuses. He went, and his obedience changed one life completely. In an unexpected place, through an unexpected person, leaving many behind to reach just one, God came and God went to work through Philip. A biographer of John Wesley wrote at the end of this book, I love this, John Wesley was out of breath pursuing the souls of the lost. Can we say the same? Can it be said of us? People of God, we should be out of breath from chasing chariots, from pursuing the lost, those who know, telling those who don't. Because if we won't do it, who will? Amen.